Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It is the Best of the Joe Show, running back some of the best audio you've heard here on 560 over the past 24 hours. I am Dan Day, and today, all about Bam Block. Oh, a historic night last night for the Heat, and we are going to get to that plenty over the next hour. First, the Joe Rose Show, going to be talking to Heat announcer and former Heat player John Crotty about Bam. Will you make a jump? Also, playoff Jimmy, and almost a hero's triple-double, and then plenty more with the Heat and good stuff. The Dan Le Batard Show, they're dumping on the Clippers, rightfully so. Then Hawk and Crowder, although Crowder on a sabbatical right now, has Dono in the mix, and they are still in disbelief of the Heat last night. Believe these headlines, though, here they are. Thanks in part to a late block by Bam Adebayo, the Heat defeated the Celtics last night, 117-114 in overtime. Game 2 is tomorrow at 7. On the west side of the bracket, Denver upset the Clippers in Game 7. The Big Ten will start their football season the weekend of October 24th. The Pac-12 has made no decision on if or when they will begin, while Southern Cal players have written a letter to their state's governor asking to please let them play. The Marlins got blanked by the Red Sox yesterday 2-0. The two play tonight at 6:40. Canes cornerback Christian Williams is entering the transfer portal. Miami plays Louisville Saturday at 7:30 here on 560 The Joe. Panthers assistant coach Mike Kitchen has been dismissed after allegations of kicking a player back in January. The team has released no official statement on the issue. In the latest ESPN Power Rankings, Inter Miami ranks 22nd out of 26 teams in the MLS. Saturday, they play the 25th-ranked team, Atlanta United, at 7. The Islanders staved off elimination last night, scoring a goal in double overtime against the Tampa Bay Lightning in the NHL playoffs. The two play tomorrow at 8, with the Lightning leading the series 3-2. And now, let's go ahead and take a step into the day spa. Residents of New Jersey claim to have seen a UFO, but after further inspection, it was just the Goodyear blimp. Not exactly a great advertisement for the Garden State. A man was pictured in England using a live snake as a face mask while riding the bus. When God gives you lemons, you make lemonade, I guess. A Malaysian man claims a monkey stole his phone and used it to take selfies. Did he really have his phone stolen, or is he covering up a monkey fetish? A South Florida condo that's walls and ceilings are lined with beer cans is currently on sale. Man, I didn't know my place was on the market. People caught not wearing masks in Indonesia are being made to dig graves for COVID-19 victims as punishment. So, wear a mask. Now on to weather. Tonight's forecast, cloudy with temperatures around 80. Getting up this morning, you get up with a little more pep in your step after the Heat won Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Joe Rose, Zach Krantz, Hollywood, talking to Heat legend, at least announcing legend, and playing legend too, John Crotty, about Bam gonna make ya jump, jump, playoff Jimmy, and almost a hero's triple-double. What about, oh, the officiating, and enter the starting dragon.
Do what I'm told to do. I think that the game comes easy to you. You take what the game gives you. And then my teammates know where I'm going to be at on the floor. But the thing is, if I don't shoot that and I pass it, my teammate's going to make it, or they're going to make the right play. That's the way it was played all year long. So, you know, it was me tonight. Next game, it'll be Gorn. It'll be Bam. It'll be Tyler. We've done it countless amounts of time. For Jay, it's not just me who does that. It's everybody on his team. I think my confidence in my guys grows every single second because they're not scared of anything, of any moment, of any team, of any shot. That's where my confidence is. I got all the faith in the world in these guys to make sure that we have an opportunity to win. I'm glad I get to be part of the leaders that we have here.
And we're glad to be watching. That's
all right,
sure.
Jimmy, whatever you say, because you're kicking some serious ass right now.
Right, that was Jimmy Butler talking last night after the big win in Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals. We're going to talk to John Crotty, who was on the call last night for the Miami Heat. John, the Bam block at the end, did you jump? Did you? What happened? What was your reaction? I know what I screamed out, but what did you scream out at that?
Yeah, I jumped. I mean, it was Eric Reed and I were sitting next to each other in the arena calling the game for the archives. Both of us jumped up. I mean, it was just what an incredibly instinctive play. I mean, he didn't think. He got off his man. He had to step across. And what was so amazing was Tatum was up high. I mean, he was over the box with the cuff going, so he had power behind that. And for Bam to make the block, again, he's right-handed, so he used his offhand, his left hand. And then when you watch that one angle where he caught it and then his hand, like, hinged back and he just had to hold it off and then power it back, you know, away from the rim, it was just an incredible play and one of, you know, amazing team effort overall in this game. It was just an exciting win for the team. It really was.
Well, I'll tell you what, it was a great game, even if you weren't a fan of either one, just like the NBA. That gave it all to you. How about Jimmy Butler hitting a three in a corner?
Oof.
And then how strong a move was that going to the basket for that three-point play? How strong is that guy? Two great three-point plays in that late in that game in regulation and overtime.
Yeah, I mean, look, the one with you know, he's not known for being a three-point shooter, but he makes them when it matters. He's comfortable. He gets his feet under him. He had that corner three ball fake and kind of got himself slid over to the side so he could shoot that shot. The strong drive, being able to take the contact. And again, what he does is at 6'7", you know, about 230 pounds, he's rugged. I mean, he can take a hit and does a great job converting a lot of shots after he takes contact and gets himself to the free throw line, where he's just been, you know, such a monster throughout the course of the season and the playoffs now, at over 10 attempts a game getting to that charity stripe. It's been a big, big factor for Miami. He's able to steady them when he's able to get to that free throw line. They could get some points and then get back as collectively as a group and set their defense. So it was just some big-time playmaking. And how about Tyler Hero, guys? I mean,
right.
Tyler Hero is one assist shy of a triple-double. I mean, it's just for a rookie to have that kind of impact on the game and the plays that he was making. I mean, we're used to seeing him make shots, but the passes that he was making, I thought last night, were absolutely impactful throughout the course of the game, helped turn the game around when they really needed somebody kind of make plays and break down the defense. Tyler was there too.
I think we talk about Tyler a lot also, and we have since the playoffs have started, especially the playoffs, not just the bubble, but since the playoffs have started. And we know what to expect at certain nights from Jimmy or Bam or Jay or Goran, even Duncan Robinson. But Tyler Hero, to me, he's not playing like a rookie. He's playing like a veteran player when he comes off the bench, and he's the number one scoring option off the bench for a team that's three games away from the Eastern Conference Finals. Ice in his veins. It's almost like I don't want to say you've never seen a rookie do this before, because plenty have, but the way he's playing, not rookie level.
No, I agree with your comment about not being a rookie anymore. I felt like since he's come back from the 4-month COVID layoff, so to speak, and been back into the bubble, he has been a new player in terms of, as confident as he was, he's at another whole level. He really, even his game has grown. His game has become even more productive, and I think wider range in terms of what he can do offensively. I think he had, you know, that three-level offense, which means you can get to the rim. You have that mid-range floater or pull-up. He's also got the three-point shot, but his playmaking, his passing, to me, has just really come up to another whole level. And what's so interesting is when he comes off the bench, all of a sudden his ability to handle the ball and become ignitable really changes the offense, so that the defense can't just key on Gorn or key on Jimmy Butler. And it really gives us another whole dynamic that makes it the team really hard to guard.
He knows he's getting 30 minutes every night, though, too. He's at a point now, like, you know, you're in at the end of the game. His confidence out there with those guys got to be really, really strong. Hey, John, I want to ask you about officiating. I guess, and I know there's some flopping going on. One of the great floppers in the NBA plays for the Celtics and Smart. I mean, no, but he's as good as there is.
Right.
But what do you think about officiating? Man, they're calling a lot of stuff. Guys are falling down. By the way, Heat players too. Boston. What are your thoughts? And I think it's the hardest job right now in professional sports, officiating the NBA, even more than the NFL. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, it's so hard. I don't know if it's the hardest just comparing other sports, but I will say, you know, you kind of hit the nail on the head. I mean, the players have gotten so adept at creating contact and making it look like it's, you know, it's coming from the other player. And some ways they're coached that way, too. I mean, we've seen Kyle Lowry, you know, do that for a long time. Oh. Kemba Walker will do that. The smaller players tend to be able to draw the contact, and they're so good at the free throw line. So, you know, that away from the play foul, I think, is what you're referencing, where Smart, you know, kind of tossed, who was it, somebody into the stationary screen there, and they were able to get that one shot in the ball. That was a call. I mean, at that juncture of the game, to have that happen, I mean, whew, I couldn't believe it either, and I'm curious to see. I haven't looked at the 2-minute report yet, but you know, whether they talk about that particular foul, because I thought that was a really difficult call on Derrick Jones Jr. there, who did just come in ice cold, trying to defend the last possession. Right. A very difficult situation for him. But you know, the team has been so resilient, Joe. I mean, they've found ways to overcome those types of things. They don't get lost in that. They just keep coming back. I mean, they were down two different times by double figures in this game and found a way to come back.
The legend of the Dragon, by the way, also since moved back into the starting lineup by Eric Spoelstra, on the bench all season long, and now basically, I mean, the leading scorer and a lot of nights out there, 29 last night, 7 rebounds, 4 assists. He fills up the stat sheet, but he's got to be one of the most important guys on that court whenever he's out there, and it's unbelievable to see the transition he made from being not a role player, but a bench guy the whole year, the sixth man, to what he's doing now.
Yeah, I mean, look, remember, he was an all-star a couple of years ago, and he still has that starter mentality, but I think the role he accepted coming off the bench just goes to show, you know, first of all, what a team player he is. And, you know, when they put him in during the reseeding games into that starting lineup, just due to different issues with personnel coming in and out of the bubble, he has stepped up. And I'll tell you, he has been huge. And your point about, you know, his ability to score is just, you know, he saves us in the second quarter. Right, I mean, he turned the game around in the second quarter. The team was down. They were struggling offensively. That Boston defense, guys, is really top-notch. I mean, they're number one in defensive rating since the games resumed in the bubble. And what they do is they're so good with versatile athletes getting up into you and really flattening out what you're trying to do. So they're pushing you further and further away from the basket. They switch everything because they have, you know, all this versatility. You can't create leads. And a guy like Gordon can come in. He can get in the seams off the dribble and create and either score for himself or get others involved. And it's critical to have multiple playmakers like that. But Gordon has just been so important for this team. And I just see him, you know, he's the second longest tenured player behind only Udonis Haslem, which a lot of people don't think of right now. You know, he's been around now and he's starting to find his voice more as a leader and leading by example with his play as usual.
Hey, John, I'll tell you what's been really good too. Defensively, we don't talk much about how good the Heat have been, what they've done to Kemba Walker. He goes one way or the other. They sometimes double him and he looks really frustrated to the point that he says, I'm not playing very well right now. They've really got him frustrated, which seems to be a key. I think they need their big three, not minus Smart, who's up and down. They need their big three to play well to have a chance to win this series. What are your thoughts on Kemba, what they've done to Kemba Walker?
Well, Kemba Walker is a dynamic player, and to your point, can really change the game. I mean, he's an excellent pull-up three-point shooter, and he really looks out of sync to me. And he missed some open shots, honestly, last night. Thank God. The Heat are changing looks on him and making it tough that you saw them go to a zone at times. And part of that's also to protect the Heat players from picking up additional fouls. But he's a hard guy to corral and slow down. And you saw he even as poor as he shot the ball, at the end of the game, he made 2 shots for them that were huge that put them ahead or tied the game. And, you know, he's a pretty dynamic player. You know, the guy to me – and you referenced him, who's, to me, a complete X-factor wild card, is Smart. I mean, he is not that good an offensive player, and he's been performing at a high level. He's so streaky knocking down these three-point shots. He's known more, you know, he's the first-team all-defensive player. He's a rugged guy who finds ways to contribute, but that is a guy who, when he's making those kind of shots, typically they're going to win the game. So Miami was able to hold down Kemba, and I think that really made the difference, because Tatum had a strong game, as well as, you know, Jaylen Brown was pretty solid too.
Hey John, before we let you roll, man, so what do you got planned today, man, after last night? I'm guessing you're gonna be a little tired today, maybe jump on a little old guy nap, but you working that other job today a little bit, or what's today look like for you?
Sure, bro.
We don't know much about you, man.
I'm getting my road work in right now, Joe, while I'm on multitasking right now.
Wow, that's awesome.
So, that is awesome. Look, if you hear me gasping a little bit, you know, I'm trying to get my early work in here, and, you know, I'll pound the phones a little bit and try to make a few dollars, and then, you know, think about, again, what we're going to talk about and prep for tomorrow. Tomorrow's game, and with our producers, and get prepared for that. You know, try to have a little fun when I can too.
John, square footage and basketball, man. That's your life right now. What can you get? Square footage and basketball. That's it. Space needed.
Crotty, you don't need to answer those questions.
More sales. Help him out. Right. I don't lease anything. So.
Crotty, don't let him get into your personal life. Don't let him. Listen. Only basketball.
He has to take a cut and pay on this basketball job compared to that other one, man. John, all thank right, you, buddy. Right. Appreciate it, man. Thanks, you take care. Right, it's none of our business. It. Your personal life. You take care.
Sure.
Right. Sure.
Take care. Love you.
Heat continue on in the playoffs. The Clippers do not. And we will continue on next with Dan Lebatard and more fun on the Best of the Joe Show. Savor the taste. Welcome back to the Best of the Joe Show, running back some of the best audio you've heard here on 560 over the past 24 hours. I am a Dan Day, not to be confused with Dan Lebatard. I don't think you could if we're standing next to each other, and our voices are a little bit different nonetheless. Dan Lebatard on from 10 to noon weekdays right here, 560 The Joe. Earlier today, they were reveling in Clippers fandom and ownership. Oh, it is so hardcore. Also, Clippers owner attacking Disney, and they explain a little bit about Jokic.
What is the context that we need for this? Is it just Clippers failure? When is this sound from? It's not from last night, is it?
A lot of people are laughing at the Clippers right now, Dan. Rightfully so. That was an embarrassing loss. We all thought that they would make it at least to the conference finals. They didn't. Now, you asked for some Steve Ballmer press conference sound, and the one that you were actually talking about was a conference in which he was yelling at Microsoft employees. Not the most embarrassing press conference on his resume anymore, because now we have a result in hand, and this introductory press conference introducing Kawhi Leonard and Paul George to Clipper Nation. Get excited with Steve Ballmer. It's a big freezing cold take now.
Love you, Dan. I have these notes, but I gotta say, I'm just fired up to be here today. It's pretty cool. I'm just delighted. You know, I'm proud of what we did last year. We had a hell of a team. I got to say, being number two, being number four, we're only here for one reason. We want to win it all. There's only one reason. But most of all, I'm pumped to say hello as Clippers to Paul and Kawhi. Come on! Year with Paul and Kawhi on our team, we're gonna win some ball games. But there's only a few games we need to need. We need to win the last game played during the NBA season. That's the game we gotta win. Kawhi said something when they won the championship this year about the Larry O.B. The only thing that matters is the Larry O.B. When I first got here, I think I called it the Lawrence O'Brien. But from now on, it's all about the Larry O.B.
Why isn't he in the bubble? He seems like he would be incredible at Disney World. Like, I would go to Disney World with him 100%.
Oh, he was in the bubble because there was a camera shot of Steve Ballmer looking all sad with a mask over his face.
But you agree, really? Of all the sports owners, right, he's probably the guy who would enjoy an amusement park the most, correct?
Oh, for sure.
Yes. Yeah,
definitely. Yeah. No, I'm sure he partook, but the last ride of his time in the bubble was not a fun one as they are eliminated by the Nuggets after blowing a 3-1 lead.
I feel like last night was rough, and then he woke up this morning and he found some fast passes really early for Tower of Terror, and he's
good
like,
mood.
Whoa, yeah. Things have changed.
I am guessing.
I can see him at the Indiana Jones Stunt Spectacular raising his hand to be the volunteer.
I think he also has multiple magic bands that he will change depending on the day and if he's feeling like a Hook one day and if he's like a Peter Pan another day.
He attacks the park. I mean, that's
Yeah. He's not an amateur.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Does Steve Ballmer attack an amusement park? Because he's too enthusiastic, and it's charming when you're a winner. But when you trade all of your first round picks until 2027 for Paul George.
In that moment, he thought he was going to be a winner.
I understand, but that's a total Tower of Terror situation he's got, like, as a franchise, because now it becomes, hey, they might leave after 1 year. Do I have to fire Doc Rivers? Really? I'm going to really do this with Patrick Beverly and a Morris brother? Which Morris brother do I have? I can't tell them apart either, he's saying.
I'm not even sure, but it cost me 2 first-rounders.
Like, no picks till 27.
Till 2027, no first-round pick. So it'll be difficult. Yeah, that's what's happening to the Clippers today. And what's funny about that is you win that game and it probably doesn't happen to you. It probably doesn't. You lose to the Lakers, there's not any shame in losing to the Lakers when they go at you with two players better than your two players.
You lose to the Lakers. I would say if you lose to the Lakers in a hard-fought series, no one's going to pick at you. Like, you lose to the Lakers in 4 games, and some people might make fun
of you. I mean,
they'll
just keep saying you're the Clippers. You've always been the Clippers. But when you lose to the Nuggets, and you were up 3-1, and you had a 20-point lead. And
two of them.
And all of a sudden, in the fourth quarter to decide your season, you get from Paul George and Kawhi Leonard as much as you get from me and Stugat in terms of point total. If me and Stugat had been out there, we wouldn't have done any worse in terms of scoring points than Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. And it's the team Kawhi built, and Kawhi could have gone to the Lakers, and Paul George spurned the Lakers twice. Paul George, that's his dream team, spurned them twice to go to the Clippers and unseat the Lakers, and they never even get to the game to play the Lakers.
Man, LeBron's got such a great shot here at getting a fourth title. Like, he really does.
I mean, he got the easiest path. He's got a team right now that doesn't play any defense whatsoever headed to the Western Conference Final.
And a sports media that has proven time and time again, it has no idea what to do with Nikola Jokic.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah, we got no idea. Why are his arms always bleeding? We don't know. Why are they good? I don't know. Why is he playing at a way with that body shape that we haven't exactly seen? How old is he? He's 24. He looks 38. He's confusing, and we're not gonna, like, no one's gonna pick the Nuggets ever.
If other players had this stat line in a game 7, 16 points, 22 rebounds, 13 assists, 2 steals, and 3 blocks in a game 7 Western Conference semifinals, he has it. No one cares.
Well, I've got to tell you that I this is a proudly Miami show, but in 2020, the team for the pandemic, like the team that needs to be holding up the bubble trophy, is the one that ruined everything. The Nuggets would be ruining everything. They would take all the storage.
Nuggets heat.
We deserve Nuggets heat, and then the games get canceled after game 2 because the coronavirus broke out. Like, that's how, and then the Nuggets were leading at the, you know, in the third quarter of game 2, and so therefore they win the series.
The only way it would be more representative of this year is if Jokic somehow gained the weight instead of losing it during the pandemic.
When did Jamal Murray become Michael Jordan, by the way?
Why have you not had more fun shouting his name? Like, why? This is in your wheelhouse, and I don't understand why you haven't embraced this guy. Is it because the games are too late?
Yes.
Like, you should be shouting all over the place like you're on a sales call in Boca.
Murray!
Why have you not been doing that all playoffs? They've, like, survived 6 or 7 elimination games.
Because he didn't think they were going to be here for long.
Exactly. I didn't want him here for that long.
It's like they don't even deserve this gag. He's down 3-1 to the Jazz. Get him out of here.
I love the idea of a finals game being called and all our announcers just simply unable to explain Jokic. Like, just, I don't, he's a loaf of bread. He's 7 feet tall. He moves around, can't jump at all. Pasty. Why are his arms bleeding? Oh, look, he's gone for 30 and 20. How did that happen?
Basketball in the bubble has been fantastic. Will it get greater? Oh, yeah. We are feeling the heat culture, especially with Hawk and Dono.
That is as big baller a block as you will ever see in the game of basketball. What was that for?
I don't know! Guts!
Bam block! What more could you ask for? Hawk, not Crowder, because he's on a sabbatical. And Dono next on the Best of the Joe Show. This is the Best of the Joe Show. Running back some of the best audio you've heard here on 560 The Joe. You know when we play this Red Hot Chili Pepper song, Hump to Bump. It's Hump Day, our official Hump Day song. Enjoy!
Detective Strong.
All right, we're almost over the hump. Crowder, he's having an interesting hump day. He's on sabbatical, and ugh, as a guy, the surgery, elective surgery he's going through today makes me... Nonetheless, Hawk and Dono, they're celebrating. They're still in disbelief of the Heat game last night. They're getting into the Bam Block, and also tweets on Bam Block, plus fire montage from Solana.
Character isn't made in a bed of roses and sunshine, like steel is forged in fire in between a hammer and an anvil. Right now, we're between the hammer and the anvil.
You gotta stay together if you got the guts.
Hey man, if you got culture, you got guts, you got the heat.
Live from American Airlines Arena in Miami, it's our broadcast of Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals, best of 7 between the Miami Heat and the Boston Celtics. Back with it comes Miami. Totter, a three is open. Totter's got it from downtown. Miami down by 2 with a minute to go. To the corner, Butler, step back, 3, got it! Jimmy Butler gives Miami the lead, 106-105, with 22 seconds left to go. Tice to inbound, and a foul is going to be called on Miami.
Oh, no.
Are you kidding me?
What? Mike Inglis is going to lose his mind.
That's before the ball's inbound. That's going to be a free throw on the ball back.
Describe a worst scenario for Miami of the stupidest thing that could happen as Tatum ties the ball game up and they get the ball side out and now they can win with the last shot.
Hey, man, if you got culture, you got guts, you got the heat.
Tatum to inbound. Boston can win it. Walker high on that left side. Jimmy Butler picks it up now to Tatum. Tatum, 3 on the way for the win. Off the rim, no, and that's going to go to overtime. Gets it to Bam. Bam up top. Out to Crowder. Hits it from downtown. Miami on top by 1. To Tata down the floor. Into Bam and a right-hand jam. Miami on the fast break. 113-110. 2 minutes left in overtime. Heat by 3. Let's see what action they've got. Butler's going to drive in. Butler step through. Puts it up. Got it to go in 1. Oh, my. Jimmy Butler. He gets fouled. And the Heat now leading. So getting set to inbound will be Grant Williams.
Miami going zone.
Yep, to Tatum. Now Tatum trying to get space. Tatum all the way in. Tatum blocked at the rim by Bam.
Bam says, get it out of here.
Etapa de Bayo.
Yes, Bam Adebayo.
What a block by Bam Adebayo as Tate went in to slam it down and Bam said, not a chance here in Orlando. And Miami wins game 1. Tatum had a look, but it didn't drop. And Miami in overtime beats Boston 117-114.
Everyone is still having a tough time believing what they witnessed last night. I still am trying to process what Bam Adebayo did at the rim. That is as big
baller a block as you will ever see in the game of basketball. What was that for?
I don't know! Guts!
Why'd we play a rim shot? Oh,
I don't know.
It was a rim block. No, but it makes sense. It was at the rim. And now it makes sense. Rim shot for the rim block. Keep playing it. Alex Dono is here for Crowder.
Yes!
Old school.
That was my reaction to that win last night, man. I'm still on cloud nine. Oh,
what a
so
game.
Amazing.
Unbelievable. Solana, you're the biggest Heat fan I know. You must still be on a high.
I ran my head through a wall last night, guys. I still
you're
have
right?
a concussion. I don't expect much from me today other than yelling guts. What a game last night. My neighbors came to check on me. That's not a joke. My neighbors came to check on me because of how much I was yelling last night in my apartment.
It was crazy. You couldn't help it. Everybody was. All over South Florida. Everybody was screaming and yelling. You couldn't believe what you were witnessing. I mean, they came out sluggish, and you felt like they might be outmanned. And they were taking jabs, but they would never hit the canvas. And then all of a sudden, you started to feel it change. But even in the montage you hear there, you heard Mike Inglis, right? I mean, the worst foul possible. You bring in Derrick Jones Jr. for defensive purposes. The worst foul possible, but they have the worst possession, Boston. I hate that possession on any basketball team. The one where you have, you know, 18 seconds, you want to dribble out the clock, but you also don't feel like moving the ball forward at all from wherever it got inbounded. And then that block from Bam in overtime is something I believe, especially if they go on to win this series, I believe you will remember that block the way that you remembered the Ray Allen shot. Would you agree,
yes.
Dono?
Oh, 100%. And I'm watching SportsCenter throughout the day today to try and relive last night's magic. A little bit annoyed that most of, you know, the national shows are talking more about the Clippers failing.
Well,
it
was a game
Heat
seven.
Night.
It was a game
I
seven.
I know,
though.
But it still, man, I wanted to bask in the Heat glory, but they did run like a top block shot in the NBA Finals montage on SportsCenter, like a top 10, I think. I can't remember all of them, but Hawk, most of these, outside of what Adebayo did last night, most of the big blocks they were showcasing were from the likes of LeBron James.
Yep.
You know, Chris Bosh had a big block shot in a Heat Finals. Manu Ginobili at one point with the Spurs had a big block. And then you've got Adebayo in there, so he's getting thrown into that mix with plays that have been made in recent years, you know, by Hall of Fame caliber players. So it was incredible. I haven't seen anything like that. And I love the fact that the Heat overcame pretty shameful officiating from Mark Davis to win that game. Important stretches, end of regulation and end of overtime, while you saw Heat players like Jimmy Butler and Tyler Hero stepping up and rising to the occasion. Jason Tatum, you know, I know that under normal circumstances would have had that big dunk, but with some of the shots he was bricking last night, he turned to mud while the Heat stars rose to the occasion. I loved that.
Yeah, it was great. The block, because that was a man block, like I said, with Bam. I mean, you're talking about Jason Tatum coming with his full force, and you're talking about Bam just jumping straight up. The only, because I was watching all the highlights as well today, the LeBron block on Tiago Splitter is probably my all-time favorite block. I love being stopped in midair. There's something about that, but man, that block was something last night. I'm imagining you feel the same. Solana, will that block be remembered the way, like when we say the block, the way we say the shot? Like, this will have legs?
Of course. I reordered my The Block t-shirt. I'm ready to have a The Block poster. Like, this is the greatest block in playoff history since LeBron James block in game 7 against the Warriors, and before that, since his block on Tiago Splitter. And for Heat fans, it lives up there with that block on Splitter, with that block that Bosch had on Danny Green, even that block Alonzo Mourning. Think of the names we're putting Bam Adebayo in with Alonzo Mourning in game 6 in Dallas. That was a huge pivotal play for Miami. Like, Bam Adebayo has cemented himself as a Miami Heat legend with his block last night. I don't think that's taking it too far. I think that's accurate.
I don't think so, because the stakes of that block were so great. I mean, that block really could change an entire series. You could be going to an NBA Finals, and I know I'm putting the cart way in front of the horse, but you could end up in an NBA Finals because of that block, because that block changes a series so much. A couple of the tweets from, you know, national people, Magic Johnson, I think everyone's seen it by now. Bam Adebayo's block on Jason Tatum's dunk was the best defensive play I've ever seen in the playoffs. Bobby Marks, the ESPN NBA front office insider. Bam Adebayo at pick 14 and Tyler Hero at 13. Just a friendly reminder that you don't have to bottom out and rely on top five picks.
That's a great
I thought that tweet was so right on. I mean, you watched what Philadelphia did and tank after tank, pick after pick, and Pat Riley goes and gets Bam Adebayo and Tyler Hero at 14 and 13. That's how
Frank
it's done.
Isola, I hope Frank Isola saw that tweet because, I mean, he talks as if, oh, there's nothing special going on in Miami that's not going on in a dozen other places. Like, get out of here with that nonsense, man. What you just said, Hawk, that tweet you just read exemplifies it perfectly, that 14th and 13th overall picks are not supposed to do at their age what these guys are doing in Eastern Conference Finals games. That is culture.
I think Damian Lillard on Twitter said it best. Miami is a good-ass team. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Let's go, Heat! Gotta be feeling good about everything that's going on, and we're going to be with you every step of the way, Hawk and Crowder. Hopefully Crowder will be back tomorrow. He didn't get snippy too much. Ooh, don't even want to think about that. And we will have everything for you from 2 to 6 weekdays right here, 560 The Joe. Thank you so much for listening. I am Dan Day. You can download the podcast for this show or any of the shows that you hear on this radio station at our website, WQAM.com, radio.com app, or wherever you get your podcast for absolutely free on social media. I am at Dan Day Radio. Hit me up and let's hit it up again tomorrow. We got a Heat game day and a whole lot of fun with the Best of the Joe Show. Later, slug.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.